This morning, I'd like to speak a little bit about hope. Now, the hope I want to talk about is not the kind of hope that we might have if we thought that the economy was really going to get booming again, or that the stock market was going to go up. And it's not the kind of hope that some people in our country have if this guy's elected or that guy's elected. That's not the kind of hope that I want to speak about. I want to speak about a hope that is much deeper, much more profound, more enduring. And that is the hope that we will live forever. It is the hope that God has reached out to us through Jesus, His Son. And that Son gave His life for us, and that Son now is gathering us to Himself as members of His church. That is a hope that you and I must cling to. That is the hope that you and I must pass on to our children and to our grandchildren. That is the hope that says life has meaning, life has purpose, and that very purpose is so that we can live forever in the presence of our God. God did not create us just to die, but God created us to live forever. Now, I know that there are not a few people in our world today say that hope is an illusion. People who would say that once we're dead, there's nothing more. And that any belief in a God or in an afterlife is kind of like a narcotic. It's just a way to help you face the pain of knowing that you're going to die and it'll be all over. What is interesting is the fact that as people embrace that belief that there is no hope, there is no future beyond death, they then suddenly get faced with the task of trying to decide what then is the meaning and purpose of life. And often it comes, the meaning and purpose is to see what I can acquire, or to find out how successful I can be, or how famous I can be, or how powerful I can be. And often that leads to addictions. Because in an effort to try to fill the emptiness within, we need more and more and more of something. Whether it's food or drink or sex, or whether it's buying more and more and more, it's all trying to fill that sense that life has no meaning. Life has no purpose. And it's not even uncommon that it leads to suicide. As Christians, we believe that life very much has a purpose. And that purpose is eternal life in the kingdom of our God. Now, there's another crowd out there who would tell you, yes, there is a heaven, there is a life after, and our God is so loving and so merciful and so generous and gracious that we're all going to go. We're all going to go to heaven. That doesn't matter. I don't find that in the scripture. I do find that God is very merciful. And as the gospel reading today says, God wants to share life with each and every one of us. But if you read the gospels carefully, there's the other option. That is the option that we can reject the gift of God. Remember the story of the last judgment in Matthew's gospel, chapter 25. It's the story of the last judgment, and the king comes in all his royal glory, and the nations are assembled before him, and it says he divides them like a shepherd divides the sheep from the goat. And those on his right, he says, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then he goes on to say all the things they've done. They've fed the hungry, clothed the naked, all of that. And then on the left, to those condemned, it says, he says, you did not feed me when I was hungry. You did not clothe me when I was naked. Very much bringing out that there is some who will, or at least possibly some, who will be condemned. Same thing we find in John's Gospel, that story about the Eucharist. You know, if you do not eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. That somehow what we're about here makes the difference between whether we live forever in God's presence or we live forever separated from God. One of the other hopeful things we have as a Catholic people is that whole belief surrounding prayer for the dead. You know, because if we can pray for those who have died, it also means that somehow they must be in a situation that our prayers can be helpful for them. If they're eternally with God, they don't need our prayers. If they're eternally condemned, they don't need our prayers because they're not going to do any good. But it must mean that there is some kind of an in-between state. And for those folks, we pray. And you know, that prayer for the dead has been very much part of us for centuries. Already, I think it was in the 3rd century, we see people praying for their deceased loved ones. And that understanding has continued to speak to us throughout the centuries, that somehow our prayers can be effective for those who have died. It's a concept we use with purgatory, even though I think purgatory is kind of a hard word for us. And maybe that's good, because purgatory kind of gets with it that kind of sense of spatial, you know, that there's a place and a space. And our souls don't occupy space and places. It is much more a state of being, a time of purification and transition. It is not a place of fire. But the fact that we can pray for those who have preceded us in death also fills with this hope, because we don't have to die perfect. We can be perfected yet in the life to come. You look around the church this morning, there's tables all around the ambulatory, and a lot of them have pictures on now. Those pictures are you're invited to bring pictures of your loved ones who died. And those pictures are meant to serve as a symbol of hope for us, that we continue to pray for them throughout this month of November. We continue to ask God to welcome them into His kingdom, to forgive any sins they may have committed. If you haven't brought yours, please feel free to do so, because we'd like to have the tables filled. And then this afternoon at 5 o'clock, we're going to have a gathering. Whoever wants to come, it's an informal thing. It's not here in the church. It's out in the gathering space. Just time to visit and talk about family and loved ones who have preceded us in death, and to reassure one another and support one another in that hope that they too can experience God's mercy. The most important thing is that as Christians, we be a people of hope. Not hope in passing things, not hope in things that are going to go away, but hope in that which will last forever. That in Christ Jesus, we can live forever in the presence of our God and Father. And that our God truly desires that each and every one of His sons and daughters be with Him in His kingdom.